Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
You wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. The book of 2 Kings in chapter number 4. We're taking a quick little break within our regular series to preach an appropriate Mother's Day message. Happy Mother's Day. We're glad that you're all here today and praying that we could be a blessing and encouragement to you. I love Bible stories, and one of my favorite groups of people is Elijah and Elisha. They went through so much and interacted with so many different people. To study their life and the ministry and how they interact is an amazing thing. In this story here, the attention is not so much on the prophet Elisha as it is a woman that he comes and meets and interacts with, and this story is put on her. So as a Mother's Day message, we wanted to highlight this nameless lady who is used in a very special way to give us an example of the saying, "It is well." If you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings in chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and if you don't mind, let's start in verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Word of God says this: "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said unto a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find several times within this passage here? 2 Kings chapter number 4, we notice, first of all, it is said in verse number 23, it says, It shall be well. It shall be well. Once again, in verse 26, we see it several times. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she said, It is well. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to preach a message from this phrase that's used over and over. Is it well? Is it well? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God, a God who's worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be served. And as we come up to you now, we're just asking that you would just give us grace and understanding. Help us to open up the scriptures here that we could learn more about you and learn more about this passage here, that we ourselves can follow this example and that we can say, even in the midst of the hard times, even in the midst of the circumstances blowing around us, that we could say with confidence, It is well. Lord, I'm asking that once again, your Spirit would do its own work through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. In this passage here, we have Elisha, who is a traveling preacher. His mentor, Elijah, has already ascended to heaven, and it has left Elisha with the mantle of the prophets. He oversees the school of the prophets. Elisha travels around and preaches. He has a circuit that he preaches. And as he traveled on a circuit, he happened to come into a place where the lady of the house always welcomed him with her husband. That every time he would stop by, he got in the habit of eating a meal with her and her husband. And then he would go on his way. Till one day she said to her husband, Let's build him a little prophet's chamber. Let's build a little addition. Let's give him a room with a bed and a table to study and a chair and somewhere where he could feel at home. So not only does he just eat with us, that he could stay overnight and rest himself so he doesn't have to find somewhere else to stay or camp outside, that we could try to be a blessing to the preacher. And they did that. And it came time that Elisha said, Well, we got to do something for this. She's been such a blessing to us. What can we do for her? And there was no type of response. No, she didn't ask for anything. So Gehazi said, Well, she needs a son. Her husband's old. She doesn't have a son. Maybe we could do that. And Elisha says, That's it. So she said, he goes, Congratulations. Guess what you're going to have in 9 months? Well, don't kid with me. Don't joke with me. No, 9 months. And guess what? 9 months, they had a child. Well, this child grew up, and there was a day that tragedy happened. He was working with his father out in the field. And in the midst of this day, the son got sick. The son ended up dying. And so she goes off to the preacher, and she wants to go and get help. She wants to get something. The son is dead. And as she runs up, Elisha sees her from the mountain, Mount Carmel, and says, That's a lady. Something must be going on. Gehazi, go find out. Go ask her these three questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And if you don't mind, I'd like to use that phrase in verse number 26. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? And is it well with thy child, as an outline to this passage here, as we examine this a little bit more, with the idea of this question, is it well? First of all, we would like to show, is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Or maybe we could do this question here, how are you doing as a person? How are you doing as a person? So, is it well with thee? How are you doing as a person? Remember that who you are is not what you are in public. It's who you are in private. It is your walk with the Lord. It is your talk with the Lord. And by the way, if your personal relationship with the Lord is not right, your personal relationship with your partner or as a parent will not be right either. It all stems with your relationship with God, your personal faith, your own self. That has to be right with God. That has to be the first thing you work on. Is it well with thee? How are you doing with a person? If you don't mind, notice with me in 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's learn a little bit more about this lady. If you don't mind, the first thing I'd like to show you, is it well with thee, that she had a personal faith. She had a personal faith. Notice with me in verse number 9. For context, let's hit verse number 8. And it fell that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. First of all, she had a personal faith that she was able to discern that this is a man of God. Not only was this a man of God, this was a holy man of God. This is someone who walks with God. This is someone who spends time with God. And the way that she's able to understand that is that she has a relationship with God herself. That how do you have a relationship with God? Well, first of all, you need to realize that you're a sinner. And because of your sin, you have offended a holy, righteous God. But you came to the place where you realized Jesus died for you and you accepted him as Savior. But beyond that, not only do you have to be saved to be a Christian, you have to have your own personal walk with God, that own personal relationship with God, that own personal walk with God. And as you do that, your spirit, the Bible talks about in the book of John, will bear witness with someone else's spirit. That if you're walking with God, you can sense, because of the Holy Spirit, someone else who walks with God. And she had such a walk with God and such a discernment. She had such a personal faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God himself, that she was able to go, this is someone who walks with God. This is a holy man of God. That was her own personal testimony, that it was evidenced by this, that she was able to discern. This is someone who walks with God. She had a personal faith. Not only did she have a personal faith, she had a practical faith. She had a practical faith. Notice with me in verse number 10. So she's talking with her husband and she comes up with a plan. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. She had a practical faith. Now, notice there is a grammatical thing there. I'm going to try to pronounce it right, called a polysnodden, which means this word and is inserted inside of a list. And what it does is it's made to slow down the reader to pay attention to every aspect of the list. It's just not a list that you read through, but the Holy Spirit wants you to place emphasis, look at each thing she does. Verse 10 again, let us make a little chamber. So basically a little room, I pray thee, on the wall. So let's knock out a wall and let's build him a little chamber. And let us set for them a bed. This is so he could rest. That's practical. If you want the preacher to come and rest, you got to give him somewhere to rest. But not only that, and a table. Why does he need a table? So he could study. And a stool, so he could sit down and study. And a candlestick, so he could see what he studied. This is a very practical thing. Here we have a lady, she not only had a personal faith, but she had a practical faith. What can I do for the man of God? I mean, I want to do something practical, something, physical that I could do to help the man of God, to help him to continue to read his Bible. You know, that was important to her. She's thinking, the man of God needs to study. So when he stays at our place, we don't want him just to stay in fellowship. We want him to have his time alone with God. We want to make sure that he gets his time alone with God. We want to make sure that that time is guarded. And so let's give him a bed so he could rest, a table where he could study, a stool to sit on, a candlestick to read. And so that way, verse number 10, and it shall be when he come to us that he shall turn in thither. We want to make it so he's comfortable and that he can get his own time with God. She had a practical faith. It was something that she thought about, and it was something achievable. It was something she could do. It was something that talked about the character she had. Not only did she have a personal faith that she could tell, this is a man of God, a holy man of God, but let's do something practical for him. Let's try to be a blessing to him. Not only did she have a personal faith and a practical faith, but she also had a pure faith. Notice, as Elisha gets to his servant and says, Gehazi, what can we do for her? What can we think about? He says, go ask her. So notice what happens in verse number 11. And it came to fell, it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful. This carries the idea of concern. Man, you've been so concerned for us. You've tried to take care of our needs for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What can we do for you because of this? Wouldest thou be spoken to for the king? He goes, ask her this, Gehazi. Ask her if she wants me to go before the king and say, King, you want to see someone who has a faith in God? Here's a lady right here. Do you want me to go brag to the king and go tell everyone about how great of a person you are? What about this? What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? Do you want me to go to the generals of the army and say, this is a lady that deserves to be protected? This is a lady that is so precious. I mean, you put extra troops on her. What can I do for her? I mean, he's trying to give something that's above and beyond, just trying to say, what can I do? I'm willing to do whatever it takes, whatever you ask. But notice her response. She answered, I dwell among mine own people. What does that mean? That means, says, I'm fine. I'm at home. I've got a family that I love. I'm good. I don't need anything. You see, she had a pure faith. She didn't do something for the preacher just for the purpose of getting something back. Well, if I be a blessed preacher, God's going to give me $1,000. You know, she wasn't in it to get something back. She had a pure faith. She just wanted to be a blessing to the man of God just because it was the right thing to do. She wanted to be a blessing to Elisha as he came through just because she loved the Lord. And that's what she was supposed to do. That was a pure faith. She wasn't trying to get something out of it. She was just trying to do what she thought was right. That was a pure faith. So when we ask, is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? How is your personal life? Well, for yourself, as we apply this part, how is your walk with God? Is it showed by practical ways? Is it a pure faith? You know, how are you doing personally? As we're taking it for Mother's Day, you could apply it no matter if you're a man or woman. But here is a lady here who had a deep walk with God. And it was carried out practically, and it was done with pure motives. This was someone who was, by the way, had a personal walk with God. No wonder, notice how God describes her in the Bible. Notice in verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed into Shunem, where there was a great woman. Now, we use adjectives all the time. For example, when I was a kid, they had the word awesome, and everything was awesome. This shirt is awesome. This thing is awesome. This toy is awesome. And we overuse adjectives. Here, we overuse the word great. Oh, it's a great day. It's this. But you know that the Bible doesn't use the word great often? In fact, there is only a small list of people that the Bible calls great. Who are these people? Abraham was called great. David. Moses. Barzillai, who helped David out, Barzillai, and it was talking about his wealth, not so much him, but Abraham, David, Moses, Barzillai, Mordecai off of Esther, and John the Baptist, and this woman. This is the entire list. These are the only people that was called great in the Bible. Why was she called great? Because of the faith that she had in the Lord Jesus Christ. When she could say, is it well with thee? It is well with thee. I'm right with God. She had a personal faith. She had a practical faith, and she had a pure faith. And she could easily say, it is well with me. It is well with me. I'm right with the Lord. So much that God put this together, and God later on, when he pinned this up, said, she is great because of her own walk with the Lord. Let's go to the second question. The second question Elisha had Gehazi talk to her was, first of all, is it well with thee? The second thing, is it well with your husband? Not only how are you doing as a person, but how are you doing as a partner? How are you doing as a partner? Now, again, I remind you that if your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with your partner is not going to be right either. No one can have a right relationship with God. If you're wrong with your wife or wrong with your husband, you are not right with God. That all ties in. But God has to have his rightful place. Now, some women will try to excuse themselves because say, I'm not what I ought because my good-for-nothing husband's not what he's supposed to be. He's not the spiritual leader. He's not the way. He just gives me trouble. Well, let me tell you, you can be right with God whether your husband is or not. Your relationship with him. In fact, let's look at the husband. And let's see some things about the husband that may not be right. But she can still say when it was, is it well with your husband? She could say, it is well. Look and notice some things about her husband. First of all, her husband was careless about divine things. Her husband was careless about divine things. Well, in the home, the husband is supposed to be the family priest. What do I mean by that? That he is supposed to be the spiritual leader, and he's supposed to lead the family to worship God and to serve God. But in homes, sometimes that's not the truth. Sometimes it's the lady that has to take it. Here's a man here that he was not the spiritual leader. In fact, whose idea was it to build the little room? Was it the man? No, it was the woman. She's the one who went to her husband and said, this is a holy man of God. We've got to do, can we build a room? Now, praise the Lord, he didn't do anything to stop her. He encouraged her. He said, fine, let's go ahead and do that. But it was her that led the way. It was her that said, we've got to do something for the man of God. He didn't oppose it, but he wasn't the leader in this. He took no initiative in spiritual things. He just left it up to his wife. Now, praise the Lord, she didn't pester him and keep badgering him. She goes, I'm going to trust God to take care of my husband. I'm going to make sure that I'm right with him. Or I'm right with the Lord. I'm right with my husband the best I can. But she didn't pester him. Why don't you do things? How come you don't pray? How come you don't take us to church? How come she just said, I'm going to trust God to change my husband, take care of things. I'm going to do what's right with me. So that way my relationship with my God and the relationship with my husband are as good on my end as possible. Now, her husband only spoke twice in this passage, and only one of them concerning spiritual things. Notice, if you don't mind, we see the son. He got sick and he died. And notice in verse 23. So, verse 21, actually, or 22, for context's sake. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men with one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. So she goes to her husband and says, grab one of the young men. Let me go see the preacher. I need to go see the preacher. Notice what her husband's answer was. Verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon or the Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. So her husband in reply, she goes, I need to go talk to the preacher. I need to go talk to the preacher. It's not a holiday. It's not time for church. Why do you want to go bother the preacher right now? Well, she had a need. She had to go to God. She needed to get an answer. But her husband said in his mind, oh, religion's only something you do on holidays. Religion's only something you do on certain days of the week. Other than that, you don't talk to God. You don't worry about the preacher. Why worry about these things? That was her husband. But she still had a right relationship. Even though her husband may have not been spiritually minded, she still had things right. And she could say even to her husband, it shall be well. It shall be well. Let me go talk to the preacher. It'll be fine. It shall be well. It shall be well. Not only was her husband careless in divine things, her husband was careless in domestic things. What was the whole thing in the first place? Well, the couple only had one son, and that son was very precious. He came as a promise. But the husband went to take the son to work. And one day when the boy went to go watch the harvesters work, you could almost see the father say, all right, just stay out of the way. Just stay over here. We're busy. You kind of just stay here and let me work. And some people say as a result, he got sunstroke. We don't know exactly what happened. Maybe he sat in the sun too long. But all of a sudden he went to his dad crying, "My head, my head." And instead of him taking him home, you know what he did? "Hey, you, go take my son home. Go let him see his mama." She could have gotten mad. "My son's dying and you're still work. You're more concerned with work than you are our child." But she didn't. She said, "I'm going to let God take care of this. I'm going to stay right with him." No wonder she could say, "When is it well with your husband?" "It is well. It is well." As a result, the son did die. Well, you know, when we ask the question, "Is it well?" Of course it's not well on the outside. The son just died. She wants him to come back. You know where it was well? It was well inside. She was able to trust God. She was able to say, "This is not a good situation, but I don't have to panic. I don't have to freak out. I don't have to cause the circumstances to affect my mood. I can still trust God and have a peace that passeth all understanding." You know, that's something about being well. We know that the circumstances around her wasn't right. Her husband's not right, but that didn't affect her. I understand it affected the situation, but it didn't affect who she was and her own walk with God. That things weren't right with her son. That her son's dead. That's a pretty painful thing. And I'm saying that when it's well, it doesn't mean you put a smile on your face and you pretend everything's hunky-dory. What we're talking about is that there's a peace that passeth all understanding. That even though you may be in a storm on the outside, you don't have to be a storm in the inside. And she could say, "It will be well. It shall be well." This is a faith she's and trust that she's putting in God, that God is going to make things right. She's not looking at the circumstances. She's looking at the prophet. She's looking beyond that. Now, she didn't complain and criticize the husband. She didn't yell at him some more. But she said, "It is well." And she left the problem of her husband to God. And by the way, God rewarded her for that. So we go to the third question. Is it well with thee? How are you doing personally? Is it well with thy husband? How are you doing as a parent? But the third question, is it well with the child? How are you doing as a parent? How are you doing as a parent? You know, it has been a surprise to me how much of a lack that some parents can have towards their children in spiritual things. About 20 years ago, I had a master sergeant who worked with me in the Air Force in the laboratory. And I remember having lunch with her. And she had a very clear profession of faith of her accepting Jesus as her Savior. But over the meal, I asked, "Do your kids, do they know for sure that they're going to heaven?" And it just floored me when she says, "Well, I'll let them find their own way. They can find it if they want. I'm not going to tell them anything about it." I couldn't believe what I heard. That she was not concerned about, she knew she was going to heaven. She knew the alternative was an awful place called hell, but she had such a lack of concern, "I'll let my kids take care of that in their own way." No, not if you believe that Jesus is the only way, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man could go to the Father but by them. I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she didn't know how to tell her kids. So I offered, I said, "If you don't mind, I would love to tell your kids." And they were older kids, teenagers, 20 years old. "I would love to tell your kids about how they can know Jesus Christ. Would you allow me the privilege of coming over? Maybe I could open the Bible." She goes, "No, no, no. They'll be fine. They'll find their own way." And I'd hate to gamble with my children. I'd hate to gamble. I couldn't see how a parent who has a child that's not saved, I don't see how they wouldn't be praying to God every night and say, "God, save them, save them, save them." I'm not saying that they're panic over it. You understand, it could still be well, that you're still trusting God. But at the same time, to have no concern whatsoever over the spiritual account, that blows my mind. To understand that the Bible is real and that there is an awful place called hell. But we don't have to go there because Jesus died for us. To have a parent that's not concerned, "Well, we don't care what my child does." To watch a mother have her little 8-year-old child hitting her in public. And just punching her in public. No, that's not going to get better. She would just say, "Well, she'll grow out of it." No, no. I mean, there's got to be a concern. There's got to be something to it. What about the lady? How is this lady here? How is she as a parent? Is it well with a child? Well, she was concerned. She went immediately, took the child, and went to go see the prophet. She wasn't concerned about the problem as much as she was, let's get it to God, let's get it to God. You know, sooner or later, parents will finally get desperate to God. The real reason why she could say it was well is because she was looking to God. Moreover, she wasn't going to settle with the servant. Notice if verse 26. Run now, Elisha's telling this to Gehazi, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God of the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed with her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Now, she didn't want to settle with Gehazi. She, you know, Gehazi greeted her and said, it is well. You know, is it well? Is it well? It's well. It's well. And she just bypassed him. She finally got to the man of God. And she got to the man of God. Gehazi tried to get in their way again. No, no, no. You can't approach him. And she just pushed him out of the way. In my mind, not, you know, she didn't want Gehazi. She wanted the man of God. She wanted to get this straight to God. She didn't want to mess with Gehazi, who, by the way, had his own spiritual problems. You'll see that later on in the next several chapters. But she wanted to get the message to the man of God. She wanted to get straight to God. She pushed him, pushed Gehazi out of the way, verse 28. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Now, you could see her brokenheartedness. Again, just because you could say it's well doesn't mean that you got a smile on your face and you're painting something that's not there. What we're talking about is that there's a peace inside that you're still trusting God in the midst of this. And so she goes, verse number 29, then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take up thy staff in thy hand and go thy way. And if thy meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again and lay my staff on the face of the child. Now, I don't think Elisha thought this would work. I think he's just getting rid of Gehazi. Just go away. Let me talk with the lady. Let's get this taken care of. Verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. So basically, she just wrestled with a man of God, not physically. It all reminds me of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. I'm not leaving until I get an answer. I'm not leaving until you tell me things are going to be all right. I'm not leaving until this is settled. She got desperate enough that she says, we want this taken care of. Not later on, but now. But now. Notice as it goes on. Verse 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. So Gehazi runs, lays the staff down. Nothing happens. He comes back and says, it didn't work. It didn't work. Verse number 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and was laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door with them twain upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went and laid upon the child and his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon the child. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And when he called Gehazi and said, call this Shumanite. So he called her. And when she was come up into him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. No wonder it says, it is well. Her son was well indeed. He started off as a corpse and he laid himself down. And it wasn't the practice of laying it down. It was that, first of all, he prayed, God, you do this. You do this. And he prayed and he went to and fro. He's praying the whole time. Finally, the child sneezed, opened his eyes. He said, go get mama. No wonder the child was raised up. A miracle was done. And by the way, why did God allow this to happen? Because God is showing how great he is. And it is a personal trial of this lady. I think Brother Sommerdorf recently said, you want to know what's in you? Let God squeeze you like a sponge. See what comes out. This lady is squeezed. Just, you know what comes out? It is well. It is well. It is well. she was able to say it as well. Why? Because the circumstances around her was well? No, not at all. By the way, the circumstances around you will not always be well. But because the circumstances around you is not well, does it mean that you can't be well? That inside of you. I love hymn histories. One of my favorite hymn histories is the song, It Is Well. In the song, the story of it is that Mr. Spafford was a preacher in England, and they had the Great Chicago Fire, which destroyed the church he served in. Could you imagine trying to think about serving in a church and the church burns down? It's going to take forever to get it rebuilt. Well, he was also a businessman, so he figured he would take a business trip to England with his family. Good time to take a vacation. Let's go serve with people over in England, both in ministry and business. And in the last minute, as his family was boarding the boat, he was called away and said, "You got some business to take care of really quick here." And so he said, "I'll meet you family in England. I got to take care of this." Just a short time later, he got a telegram from his wife that said, "Saved alone." What happened is that the boat that his wife and his two daughters was on sank, and his wife was saved, but the two daughters perished. Well, he immediately booked passage to go to England to go comfort his wife. And as they were sailing across the Atlantic, they got to the place where the captain of the ship said, "The best we can tell, this is where the other ship sank." And of course, Mr. Spafford took some time and prayed and looked at it. And again, his daughters just died. This is a horrible thing. This isn't something where he smiles and is beaming. But in the midst of it, God gave a peace that passeth all understanding. How can you have a peace at this time? Well, that's what a peace that passeth all understanding means. That you have a peace when it doesn't make sense. That God was able to give a peace. And he was able to think in his heart, "It is well." And he went back and began to write this song. And of course, it became a very famous song. May I read you the words of this song? It says, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou," that's God, "has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul." As we come to here, we have a mother who not all the circumstances was well with her, but in the midst of it, she could say to her husband, she could say to other people, "It is well." Not because of the circumstances outside, but she did not allow the circumstances to control her. That she had such a faith in God and a trust in Him that even in the hard times, she was able to be a witness and say, "It's well. It shall be well." How about you, dear friend? We're approaching Mother's Day and we're taking a lady here, but you don't have to be a lady for you to say in your own self, "It is well." Is it right with thee? Is it well with your partner, with your husband? Is it well with your child? Could you honestly say that right now, no matter what circumstances you're in, that you're not freaking out, you're not panicking, you're not in turmoil? Could you honestly say, "It is well"?
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.